Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Paresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. Hey there, friend. Welcome to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. I am your host, Jessica Paresta. And whether you're new here or you've been listening for a while, I'm so excited to have you back today. Today's episode is about centers in the elementary music classroom. Centers is something that I've seen come on the scene lately. Probably the last few years is something that has been talked about. Teachers are sharing what they do in their music rooms, and it is actually something I did with my students all the way back in 2004. So centers have been around a while, and I think the struggle with implementing centers in the music room is the fact that we are not homeroom teachers. We don't see the same set of kiddos all day long. They are coming in and out of the classroom, in and out of the music room all day long. So it is kind of a struggle of knowing, well, what do I do with my kiddos? How do I know what to do with them when I only see them for a short amount of time? So I want to talk about that today in this episode. I also want to mention that there is a blog post that goes right along with this episode that you will find mentioned in the show notes that is called 6 Fun Elementary Music Center Ideas. This podcast episode is going to go over those ideas, but in a little bit more detail. So, to be honest with you, this is probably where a lot of you find yourself. I knew I wanted to do something different with my students, and I honestly got the idea of centers. This is before blogs were even a thing. This is the honest truth. I heard one of the kindergarten teachers in my school building talking about centers in her classroom, and I got kind of intrigued, and I'm like, What is the centers I hear you talking about? A lot of the homeroom teachers also maybe say stations instead of centers, but she started talking about centers with her students and how they would go to different areas in the room. And I kind of got intrigued and started in my mind playing around with the idea of centers and how I could make it happen in the music room. So when I started thinking about and processing how I could do centers in my own music classroom, I knew it would not look the same. I was not going to be teaching a lesson on math and having the students do different activities with math. But with that said, I knew what I did in the music room, bringing centers in there and students being able to explore and create and to learn in different ways in the music room about the different objectives and the concepts I was teaching. I could totally do that. So my wheels got spinning. And one of the first holdups I had was the fact that I knew I would not see these students very often. It was once a week, 45 minutes. So I knew it was not going to look the same way, like I said earlier, as a general classroom teacher because they see their same set of students all day long. But I started thinking about, okay, what can I do? When I only see them once a week, how often do I want to do centers? What do I want it to look like? And how can I make sure it is relevant to what I am teaching to really reinforce what I've already taught to the students the rest of the month or the rest of the 9 weeks where they're not just learning something new, but they are reinforcing and and applying what they've already learned through what I've taught. And so that is one of my first points for centers is you're not teaching something new. Students are getting an opportunity to explore what they've already learned in different ways. And we're going to talk about what those ways are in this episode. But I want to say it's not teaching something new. It's not reinventing the wheel. It is not, here's a set of instructions, read them, and then learn something new about music today. No. When you get to the point where you're ready to do centers, maybe it is a unit wrap up. Maybe you have gone over something with your students and then you're ready for them to apply what they've learned to create in small groups. Maybe it is partners. And we're going to also talk about how to rotate and all those things as well. But the main thing I want you to take away at the very beginning of this episode is centers is not, like I said, teaching something new, but it is reinforcing what the students have already learned. So I also want to say that when you hear other music teachers talking about the centers they do in their music room, overwhelm comes from the fact that maybe you see someone talking about they are doing a class set of Chromebooks. They're using a full entire set of Chromebooks with their students, and students are doing different activities in their small groups for centers. And you're sitting there, maybe you're at a school like I found myself at, where I had no technology at all to start off with. Ironically, I am in the middle of pursuing my master's degree in educational technology, but the thing is with technology, and this is something I am a huge advocate for, is you do not have to have a class set of anything. You do not have to have the fanciest technology, the latest whatever, the latest of whatever is out there. You can just literally use what you have. So what did I have? I had a dinosaur computer that I found in the basement of my school that wasn't being used. And my goal was, if this thing turns on and I'm able to set it up, I'm able to connect it to Wi-Fi, I am going to use this. I'm not sure how yet. I don't know how I'm going to use one computer for all of my students, but we're going to make it work. So I did. I used it for instruction when it came to centers. I had some stools I pulled in there, an old table I set up and put the computer there. And I had instructions, and we're going to talk about how I did that as well. But I don't want you to feel overwhelmed with, but I don't have all this technology to use. With centers, it's not just about technology. You can use technology, but it's not just about technology. Think about what you already have available to you. Think about if there's a student Chromebook that could come to the music room that you could use for a center. So we're going to talk about ways you can think about that. But what I don't want you to do is compare yourself to other teachers who are talking about their classroom set of whatever it is, and you're sitting there feeling, well, I can't do centers because I don't have that or that or that. No, that's the furthest from the truth, because I'm going to go back to what I've said before. Every student comes in your classroom has a body. They all have a voice. Students can definitely do a ton with body percussion, and they can do a ton with singing or speaking and movement. So let's talk about what those things are. Like I said, look at that blog post that goes with this episode, because it will really, really outline different ways you can do centers as well. So let's start off by talking about how to split students into centers. My goal is for you to have 4 to 5 students per group. Now, I would suggest starting centers as you've gotten to know your students a little bit, grouping them up based on who will work well together, but also put your learners who you know will naturally be leaders, assign leaders to different groups without them even knowing they're the leader on purpose. Put some of your stronger students in as leaders in your group. So if you have 4 to 5 students per group, that might be 4 to 5 groups of kiddos. I had six groups, and there would be 3 rotations per class period, and we're going to talk about that as well. Because what's going to happen is students can rotate to 2 centers each time you do centers in the music room. Or you might have 3 centers being rotated through each time they're in the music room. So what will happen is your centers may take place. My goal was to have them take place for 2 class periods. So I would have 4 centers set up, and the students would do 2 centers one time. And then I would keep a note of what groups did what. So I knew next time they came in, they would be doing the other centers. And then, so two class periods, you're going to block off for doing centers. And maybe you're just doing centers twice a year, once in the fall, once in the spring, two class periods. Maybe you want to do them more. This all comes down to planning. It's not just about lesson planning, but it's planning. What do you want to happen in your music room? So maybe you want to do it once a month, but if you're only seeing your students four times a month, that's why I said maybe do it once in the fall, once in the spring, or twice in the fall, twice in the spring. You get to figure out when that's going to be, how often you want to do it, but you can also have, at the end of a class period, maybe you have some centers already planned or students already naturally know what to do if there's extra time. But if there is, you know, maybe you're doing some kind of activities at the end of class period for filler activities. But if not, if students are already knowing what your centers are and you have extra time at the end of class period, do a center then as well. But for me, I like to have it blocked off knowing this is the days I'm doing these centers because I need to have my instructions ready, what centers we're doing ready, knowing, like I said, it's not teaching anything new, but it's reinforcing what they've learned. So how am I going to do that with these centers and like time to prepare? So how you split your students into groups is up to you, but the same way you would group your students for any other activity, for any other small group activity you're doing in your music room, do that. Have some stronger learners in each group. Have some students who are going to need extra help. Put them in groups with the stronger students as well. Don't put kids who are constantly distracting each other in the same group and just group them together the way you want to. You know how you do that. Do it the same way you always do in your music room. So let's move in to some center ideas that you can begin implementing. With that said, you are always, like I said, going to hear new ideas being given by other music teachers. And so you can always go, oh my gosh, that's a great idea. I want to implement that instead, or I'm going to use that center idea next time. But these ideas that I'm going to present today will definitely help you get started simply. Boomwhacker melodies. All right. So when I started out, I've mentioned this before, I didn't have any instruments. One of the first set of instruments I got was boomwhackers. I did not have enough for the whole entire class. I had an octave. So I thought, as I always do, go back to the drawing board and instead of being like, woe is me, I don't have enough instruments for all the kids, how can I use these boomwhackers since there's eight of them? So what I did is I used them in centers. What I did is I went to one of the teacher stores where they are those pocket charts. A lot of the classroom teachers will use those for sight words or math problems or put students' names in. I like to use these pocket charts for instructions. So what I would do, the simplest way, and you can even create this on a Google Doc, you guys. But what I would do is I had a melody written out, or I would print out a melody, and then I would highlight the notes with the color of the boomwhacker. So for example, if the note was C, I would highlight it with red. This is great for your younger students who maybe are having a hard time with reading music, or it's obviously they're really little. They're not going to know how to read the music, how to read the notes on the staff yet. So color coding the right boomwhacker to play will help them with learning what the melody is and how to play that particular melody. Use any simple melody. Write one out. You can write a melody out on a staff paper and color code it with different markers so the students know what to play. Then students will know, okay, so if I have the red and the orange, anytime I see the red and the orange boomwhacker, or anytime I see that color on this paper right here, that's when I'm going to play my boomwhacker. With your lower elementary music students, use a 2-3 note melody with simple rhythms, and with the upper grades, you can make it a little bit more challenging. So you're going to have two printed out, right? Or maybe multiple printed out, but I usually did one for lower elementary, one for upper elementary. And what you're going to do is label that, put it in a folder, a folder. And so when you're at the folder, you have one folder at the Boomwhacker station, at the Boomwhacker Center. So students know when they get over there, you could have it labeled lower elementary, first and second grade. I didn't usually do centers with kindergarten, but that's up to you as well. It's your classroom, your choice. But lower elementary, first and second grade. Upper elementary, a different piece of paper that says third, fourth, and fifth grade. Now, sometimes your third graders may be doing something different than fifth grade is. Sometimes you want to keep it simple and have them all doing the same center activity. And that is up to you based on what you're doing with your students. So you're going to have these instructions, some instructions printed out for lower elementary, upper elementary. And then on this pocket chart, that's where the music is, the melody is that you have color coded the different Boomwhackers to play. You can, like I said, create this on a Google Doc. You can create it in whatever you use to create anything. And you can just highlight it with different colors on a Google Doc and print it out. Or you can keep it simple and just use markers. So how you do that is up to you. Now, what I do want to say about any center, though, is with your lower elementary kiddos who cannot read very well yet, I go around each center, pull out the instructions, and read it to them. Okay, you guys, if you're at the Boomwhacker Center today, here's what the instructions say to do. Is everybody paying attention? So when they get there, you will have one or two students who can reread the instructions. Keep the instructions super simple. Maybe put bullet points there so the students are able to identify what to do, or one, two, three, four, what steps to do in order. But like I said, with the lower elementary, just realizing you're a facilitator. You're going to be walking around, helping them, rereading the instructions, reminding them what they're supposed to be doing. So that's with Boomwhackers. You're going to have a melody. Maybe it's a song they've already sang before. Maybe it's a song you've been doing in class, and now they're getting the opportunity to play that melody on the Boomwhacker. Another center idea is obviously technology, computers, tablets. So like I said, I didn't have a lot of technology to work with. But with that said, I did not let that stop me. I had one student computer. But whether you have one device, several devices, some ideas that you can do with your students is watch orchestra videos. There are so many different orchestra activities the kiddos can do. There's the Classics for Kids. San Francisco has a kids orchestra website where they can play a ton of different music games. They can compose games. They can watch different orchestras. They can listen to the different instruments of the orchestra and identify where they go. There are composing websites. There are, like I said, different musical games. They can even on the computer, on different websites, they can go and play different instruments that appear on the computer, whether it's a Boomwhacker, a drum, rhythm sticks, or whatever. Think about the technology you're already using in your classroom. And then what I want you to think is, how can I use the technology I'm already using in my music room? How can I use that in a center where there's small groups of students coming together to create music together, to play music together? How can they do that in a small group setting? So what you're going to do at every single center, like I mentioned with the Boomwhackers, is have a folder at the computer center. So they're not just sitting there and immediately just opening up a website and doing whatever they want. The instructions are in there. For this center, you are going to, step one, go to this website. Step two, you're going to do this at this website, whatever it might be. Make it fun, make it interactive, and let your students know what your expectations are. Another center idea is a listening center. A listening center can be done in a couple of different ways. So if you have audiobooks about music, kids can listen to them with headphones on. They can read a book right along with the audiobook and follow along on the pages. Or the group of students can listen to music and draw or write about the song they hear with headphones on, so they're not distracting the rest of the class. The older students can even go a step further and write about what the composer was feeling, why they think they wrote the song, or talk about the instruments they hear performing. Maybe you have some kind of worksheet there for the students to fill out to answer their answer different questions. They can collaborate together as a group and discuss their answers together. So a listening center is basically, that's what it sounds like. They are listening to something, whether it's an audiobook or whether it is a musical performance by a musical artist, and then they are doing something with it. Make sure you have instructions there as well so students know what to do. Maybe you have keyboards in your classroom. Maybe you have pianos. I had a couple of keyboards set up for my students to use. I'm talking about the piano keyboards. Students loved that. I gave them liberty to, I was so blown away, guys. I don't know how many times you are too. You're blown away by what your students can do. Giving them liberty to create music, it's like, wow, you're a little tiny musician. It's amazing. If you have piano keyboards in your classroom, let the students explore with the sounds. Let them play simple melodies just like they're doing on the boomwhackers. Maybe they've already learned how to play a melody on the boomwhacker. Now, maybe you've color-coded the notes and students are learning how to play it on a keyboard. They can compose music. Maybe they have simple piano lessons they're learning how to do. Maybe they are, like I said, using the different sounds to create their own song. How you leave instructions there for your students is up to you as well. Another center is the recorder or the xylophone center. If your older students have already learned recorder, yes, this is probably later on in the school year, then use them in centers. Have them grab the recorder and they're going to do something in centers. They can even just practice the music you've already learned together. Maybe you're doing a recorder unit and this is the perfect opportunity for students to practice the songs that you're already doing with them in your classroom together. For younger students, they can practice steady B or a simple rhythmic pattern on a xylophone like C, E, E, C, E, E, C, E, E, C, or whatever it might be. You can have them learn melodies on the xylophone, or the metallophone, glockenspiel, any mallet instrument, but this will also be a perfect opportunity. Maybe they've already learned a song in the classroom, and now you're going to have them practice an ostinato to that song during their center time. Think about your own ways you can make these instruments into centers. What do you want your students to be able to do? What do you want them to practice? What are you wanting to reinforce? What are you wanting to give them extra time to be able to explore? Think about those things, and that will help you with deciding what to do during center time in your music classroom. And then, of course, there are music games. You guys, there's so many music games kids can play. It can look like music bingo, a game from a song they've already learned, rhythm relay races. Think about any music games that you've done with your students in your classroom and turn it into a center. If there's a group of 4 to 5 kids, they can definitely play a music game together. Now, music activities is another one where if students are exploring counting rhythms, where maybe you've used popsicle sticks and they're laying out different rhythms on the floor. Maybe in the instructions on this folder, you are giving them different rhythms that they can practice together, and like ta, ta, ti, ti, ta. And then they have to lay down the different rhythms on the floor that they see on the paper as a group. Now that will go pretty quickly. It really will. And so if they've already done what the instructions say from the folder, then students can take turns being leaders, and the leader calls out different rhythms that the rest of the group needs to lay on the floor together. And they keep doing that until it's time to rotate their centers. So I hope this episode helps give you an idea of what centers you can easily get started in your music room. Even if you don't have a lot of instruments, even if you don't have a lot of technology, students can definitely create together in centers. I would love to hear about your favorite center ideas. So tag me in this episode, share to your Instagram story or on Facebook, and let me know what you are already doing in your music room when it comes to centers. I hope you're having an amazing week. Continue having an amazing rest of your week, and I will see you again next week. Have a great day. Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook Group. Come on over and join us there, where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today.
as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.